Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I am the owner-operator of this channel. On today's episode, I'm joined by my friend Cody. I've known Cody since high school, and he currently lives in the Washington, D.C. area.
Cody!
Hey, what's up, Chad?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Pretty good.
How you been?
I've been well. Just very antsy at the beginning of the baseball season.
Baseball season has started, my friend.
Yeah, proven really distracting, both at work and in my personal life.
Why do you say in your personal life?
I'm in two fantasy teams, so I'm just constantly looking at score updates on my cell phone. And because it's the beginning of the season, it's been a day game every day for like 2 weeks now.
Yeah, there have been a lot of day games. I'm kind of surprised it's been going on for so long. Usually by this time they have a lot more night games going on.
Yeah, usually they give you like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then they're just like, you can only watch at night now.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like it, in certain places, it's not like the weather's been much better, you know? Like, what, I think Texas...
I mean, there's like a foot of snow on the ground in Minnesota right now.
Yeah, exactly. And what was it, Texas has had the, yesterday, it was the coldest start to a baseball game ever. I think it was like 36 degrees in Texas.
That's very cold for the state of Texas.
It's very...
Especially where that ballpark is.
Yeah. The interesting about that ballpark is they actually had to dig it into the ground because of the summer heat. Now, during the summer, it's never going to be cold in Texas, that's for sure. But it's just amazing. Because that, between that and then there was at the Super Bowl that the Jerry Jones Chapel Temple hosted a couple years ago, it snowed that week.
Yeah.
And everybody was...
Well, I mean, climate change is real. And it displays in interesting ways that have caused the snow out of a baseball game this year.
It has. And usually that's just kind of, that's Denver. Like, I kind of expected there, but nowhere else, you know?
I think it was like 96 or 98, it was like flurrying at opening day at Yankee Stadium.
It very likely would have been, yes.
Yeah. I remember Andy Pettit wearing like a three-quarter face thing. And me and my buddy Ryan having a very good time.
Yeah, it was funny because I've seen a lot of the players early on in the season wearing those ear muff hats, like the Major League Baseball ear muff hats that they only really wear in October, and you know, unfortunately when it does stretch into November as well. So it's kind of odd to see that, but.
The flip side of that, though, down here in Washington, it's been 90 for like 3 days in a row now.
That's amazing. Yeah, you live in the D.C. area. How, like in D.C. proper or like outside of it? Where
Me and my blushing bride just moved to Bethesda, which is north of D.C., but it touches D.C., and like I still take the train to work. It's kind of a bummer for me. I used to live five stops from Natchtown, as the locals call it, Nationals Park, to the rest of the world.
How nice is that ballpark?
I love Natchtown. The winning ways of the Nationals have kind of changed the complexion of the park.
Mm-hmm.
When I first moved here 3 years ago in the summer, it was just fantastic. Like no one was ever there.
Right.
You could buy a $10 upper deck ticket, and by the fifth inning, you could have yourself sitting, pretty much anywhere in the park, except for, like, behind home plate or the PNC Diamond Club.
Right. I mean, it's amazing how quickly they've come into their own.
Yeah. Now it's all Virginians with their backwards hats and their camo.
the
cheapest ticket I saw for a game next week or the week after was $30.
Yeah, well, the question is how much longer until they go on to a sellout streak? I know the Red Sox just ended theirs at like 730 eight games, I think it was. But how do you foresee that happening with the Nationals?
It's tough. DC is a bad sports town.
Which would explain why they had two baseball teams.
Yeah, exactly. They hate anything less than really, really good when it comes to every team but the Redskins. Getting ready for football season here is the most frustrating thing because everybody I'm friends with and every person I have any kind of football discourse with who is a Redskins fan, at the beginning of every season I've lived here, has thought the Redskins had a chance to sneak into the playoffs and win the Super Bowl.
They have high hopes.
High hopes. It doesn't matter who's playing quarterback. It doesn't matter if they have an offensive line or a defensive backfield, as was the case this season.
Right.
Like, they never understand what stands between them and being that, you know, wild card team that wins the Super Bowl.
Well, to be fair, there's several other teams, and, you know, the way the league goes, it's a lot of other teams, and it's constantly not always the same ones, especially in that division.
I'd say the worst day I had this past year was when the Redskins won the division.
But, hey, they beat the Cowboys, so that has to count for something.
I saw a guy in the Metro who was wearing a Cowboys jacket, or a Redskins, like, varsity jacket. And on the back it said, wins over the Cowboys, and it listed every time the Redskins had beaten the Cowboys and the scores.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's...
It's a very intense rivalry.
It's. I would have to say it is the greatest rivalry. There's no real way to ever blow that rivalry out of proportion. Because
you have a team that calls themselves America's team, and then the team that plays in the nation's capital.
Exactly, and it goes even simpler than that. It's very childlike. It's Cowboys versus Indians. It's Cowboys versus Redskins. I mean, it's so simple.
I also just want to mention this. In this conversation, I've said the R word more times than I have the entire time I've lived down here. I normally refuse to say it.
Well, fair enough.
Because it is a really racist word. And, like, it's a city that changed the name of its basketball team because they were offended by the name Bullets. When at the time, and currently, Washington, D.C. has an ample supply of bullets being fired, stored, and kept.
Yes.
To ring out here.
Yeah, I can understand that. And, yeah. Yeah, I never understood why they changed their name. And to be quite frankly, ever since they changed it to the Wizards, they have not been successful at all.
I got a good buddy down here who always says, I've heard lots of bullets in Washington, never seen a wizard.
That is very true. Yeah, aside from the sideshow that was Michael Jordan's return, I mean, and trading Gilbert Arenas, that's been about it for them in terms of them.
From what I read in the Daily Free newspaper, there's a lot of hope going forward between I'm not a basketball guy.
No.
Until the finals, because nobody tries until then, really.
That is absolutely true.
But John Wall and the kid they drafted first this year apparently had good seasons before getting hurt. And the Zards fans have a lot of hope.
They called the Zards?
No, I made that one up.
Oh, okay. I like that, actually. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like that one. Now, how big is Bryce Harper down there? Because I got to tell you, I'm a fan of Bryce Harper.
I am a Bryce Harper guy.
I think he's awesome.
When he got called up, I bought tickets to the first three games he played at home.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him play a bunch of times. He plays really hard. He's got a wonderful looking swing.
It's Griffey-esque, I would have to say.
Yeah, it reminds me of Griffey. It's a little more violent than Griffey's. Griffey's swing was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen a human being do.
So smooth, like, and it had a perfect circular quality to it, you know?
Yeah. it was efficiency in motion.
Yes.
And I think the knock on Bryce is that he's not super patient, and that's because he knows that he can murder balls.
Yes.
I saw him one game I went to, I think it was in August. He hit a line drive home run in the first inning, and then a line drive triple that was about 8 inches short of being a home run. And I think for anyone else in the league, it would have been a double, but he just refused to not take the base, which I love to see.
He's really, and that's the other thing, he's so aggressive in every man. He plays the game like a football player. Like he views, I think, because you see a lot of those players. I remember Darren Erstad for the Angels played like that. And the only concern is your body's going to break down if you play that hard for so long. But at the same time, you look at Pete Rose, and he played forever, and he had first slides and running into people. So, you know, it can go either way. So long as he stays healthy, he's going to be good. Do you think?
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of the baseball pundits are talking about Harper or Trout. And
I think it's going to be Harper at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's something. Look, Trout hit really early, and I mean, he might have, if it wasn't for Miguel Cabrera, and he earned that MVP, because honestly, without Cabrera, the Tigers don't go to the playoffs. Even with Trout.
Yeah, you got to send the Triple Crown winner to the playoffs.
That is true.
To the MVP. They beat Ted Williams on that one year.
Yeah.
Like, he won in the Triple Crown. He probably should have been the MVP. I think everyone still was having a Lou Gehrig boner at the time, though.
they probably were. You were probably right. So I don't know. I want to say Harper because Trout is just one of the – he's like Ryan Howard phenom where, like, that first season you can't stop him, and then after that they find your holes. But if you start out slow, which I think Harper did, he had a nice rookie campaign. It was very – for a rookie, that was good. Now after that, now it's really where you're going to put up the – because right now Harper's killing it, and Trout is really comparatively struggling. You know, it looks like the sophomore jinx is on him more so than Harper.
Yeah, I read a lot of the human interest stories on him because they're in the paper like every other week here. And he was raised to be a professional baseball player.
Oh, yeah. The Sports Illustrated, I remember the Sports Illustrated issue, like, I guess it was like 3 or 4 years ago, where he was still in high school.
16.
Yeah. And I'm just like, this guy, I liked him back then. Like, there's something about his aggressiveness. You know, you've heard his quote, you know, that's clown question, bro, and stuff like that. But what people don't really understand is that he's like baseball's Tebow, you know, in a certain respect, because I think he's Mormon, correct?
Yeah, he is a Mormon, which resulted in him already having an amazing press quote. when they played in Toronto last year, a reporter asked him if he was going to take advantage of the lower drinking age, and he said, That's a clown question, bro.
Like, I love that. Like, he's still young enough to, you know, he still has that enthusiasm, but he also can be just like, come on. And I like that. You want quotable athletes. You don't want the taking it one game at a time. You don't want the stock answers that they give you. So I appreciate that. So you're an awesome guest. What can I say, my friend?
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Good luck in your future podcasting endeavors.
Thank you very much, and I hope to chat with you again soon. Thank you for listening very much. Please like us on Facebook. You can also email me at everymansports@gmail.com. That's everymansports@gmail.com. You can search for us on iTunes, Everyman Sports, under podcasts, and I hope you continue to listen. Thank you very much. Bye.